previously on Thomas and the Bible. Let's see. It was great because the Bible's been great. The New Testament is great. There's some Jesus. Oh, yeah, his parables that meant nothing. What a riot those were. That wacky Jesus and his parables that don't mean anything. And then, let's see, performed some more, just a ton of miracles and gets no respect. He did the Rodney Dangerfield, like, hey, get no respect for, like, just hours. Thanks, Harley, for that intro. Guys, I could not be in a better mood. Maybe that's strong. Might be a strong phrasing, but I am in a great mood. I am so happy. It's just several things. Okay, so I got to tell you this. They're not really Bible related. Well, some of it's Bible related, but it sort of is all piling on. So I tell you a little story. My good friend, who has been such a help and just an amazing supporter of the show. I don't know if he listens to this show, actually. But either way, Bangs Naughty Bits, my friend who I guess he doesn't use his real name. So I'll just say Bangs Naughty Bits. I know his real name. But anyway, he supports Atheistically Speaking a lot and supports me a lot. And he was helping me figure out how to wire my new house. Because so the new house has a bunch of Ethernet ports everywhere. But the internet guy only sets up one and then I plug in the router to it. Like that's all he would do. And so I didn't really know how it works, but he was helping me through that because my Mac Pro wasn't connecting very well to the Wi-Fi, and I need to have it be perfectly connected. I would always keep it on a wired connection because for Atheistically Speaking, I need to have to be able to do interviews and not worry about any connection interruptions. So Bangs, the aforementioned Bangs, was helping me wire up the Ethernet cable or ports so that I could plug the Mac Pro in. Long story short, my studio in the upstairs has been incredibly warm. Well, not incredibly warm, but it has been warm. It's summertime, so it's warm. But it has been warm for how cold the downstairs is. And I've been getting really frustrated with like, oh, maybe the AC just kind of does the downstairs and then the upstairs just suffers because, you know, upstairs are always hotter in a house and whatever. I thought it was just that. So it's been really hot. I came home today. The studio was super hot. I was not looking forward to going in the hot studio and recording. It has to be upstairs because that's the only room that will work. And then as I'm trying to wire up these ports that my friend is helping me with, I discover I have another thermostat upstairs that I did not know about. I think I remember seeing it, but it didn't process at the time. Whenever I think I might have seen it like way back when I was first looking at the house and I just didn't think about it. But so that came as a pleasant surprise. So I think it just wasn't on. And all things considered, the house was pretty cool despite the upstairs one not being on. But now that it's on, this is way, way more pleasurable to record and have it be nice and cool. It was getting sweltering in here because of, recording equipment, computer fan, all that. When I close it up to, make sure everything's nice and quiet, it gets really warm. So I'm in a great mood because of that. Sorry for the pointless story, but I just thought it was hilarious. I just did not know I had another thermostat. Talk about first world problems, by the way. Oh, man. And then on top of that, we're reading the New Testament, and it has been so enjoyable. The last episode was one of my favorites I've done. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I don't know. I thought we were really humming, you know? It was just things were clicking with me last episode, I think. I mean, maybe not, but at least for me. We'll say what little I can do with this book felt like I was doing that part of it well because the book was not terrible last week. So we'll see. So now we're going to read Matthew 17 through 20. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, John, and taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them. Well, now this is in present tense. That's weird. Bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him, whatever. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias or Elias. I don't remember that name, but I'm sure it was in there somewhere. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, You know what's funny? They always have to go up on a mountain to talk to God. And doesn't that just reveal the ridiculousness and the primitiveness, I guess, if that's the right word, of the times? It's like God is somewhere in space, right? But we need to get like a few thousand feet higher. You can't quite hear or see God from sea level. I mean, that's basic. It's just a little too far. You can't quite, but you get better reception for the God, antenna that you have. If you can get someplace high in elevation, you know, it gives you the little boost you need. It's always a mountain. You always go up to a mountain. And that makes sense. If you're a primitive people who thinks God is somewhere above you in space, or in just, well, you don't know about space, I guess, but you think God's somewhere in the clouds or whatever. It's like, yeah, he has to walk up to a mountain, you know, duh, it gets him a little closer to God. But it's like, well, we know God isn't in the sky. So how, well, obviously there's a million things ridiculous about it. God's not in one direction. That's the band One Direction. And all that, but still, it's so funny. Like the mountain gives you that little boost you need. But anyway, so he was having a vision, or Jesus led them to a mountain. They saw like, you know, Moses and other people who would bolster Jesus's street cred. And they're like, whoa, Jesus knows these guys? No way. Well, any friend of Moses's is a son of God. Anyway, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, that and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist, who he learned was murdered. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. And that's spelled with a CK, which I think is just retro. Lunatic and sore vexed, and oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Wow, make up his mind. Or fall into both at the same time and you'd be better. And I brought him to thy disciples and they could not cure him. Yeah, because his disciples don't know anything. They're not. Anyway, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible. Well, if you remove the mountain, where are you going to talk to God? Where are you going to go for your reception? Howbeit, this kind goeth not, goeth not out by prayer and fasting. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. And they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. Again with this. Okay, sure. And they were exceeding sorry. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, and take, and give unto them for me and thee. So a few things to talk about here. First, you notice Jesus was telling him, like, yeah, I'm going to be killed. And I was just looking up, so in my research, I saw it said, let me read the quote. Jesus did not want his death on the cross to come as a shock to the disciples. He was trying to explain to them that this was the salvation plan that had been worked out from the beginning of the earth. This had been worked out from the beginning of the earth, guys. I mean, I know this is the classic problem, but here it is. Let's get to it. So God did all this from the beginning of the earth. He knew the sin was going to happen, blah, blah, blah. He knew this. He already knew that some people were going to murder Jesus. Like, those people, I guess, are just pawns in his little game, you know. He's going to have some people commit murder in order to work out his salvation plan. How insane of a plan is this? All the memes are right. I mean, all the memes are right. No, all the memes that say, like, you know, well, Jesus is going to, you know, God is Jesus and he's his own son and he's going to kill himself in order to save us from the sin that he planned for us. Like, it's the most backwards, idiotic story. And I don't think that you can really make too much out of that. I think that I'm going to ask the next person that I get to talk to who's a Christian, why is this story so stupid? I'm sure they'll have some answer, but it doesn't make sense. Anyway, back to the money part. So I guess there's some sort of tax that Jewish men would pay to keep the temple service going. And so the guy was asking Jesus, like, hey, yo, man, it's tax day. Like, come on. What's going on? Do you pay tax or whatever? And Jesus was like, well, apparently Jesus is also a lawyer. But I guess if you're, you know, if you are God, you know some things. He says, well, the kings don't charge their own sons the tax, which apparently was true. And then Jesus said, well, my dad's God, so surely I'm exempt from the tax. And then he's like, but even though I'm exempt from the tax, I'll pay it. And then he does something just bizarrely cruel. He says, like, hey, even though we don't need to pay this, he says to Peter, I think it was. I turned the page. I think it was Peter. He's like, well, we don't need to. Yeah, it was Peter. We don't need to pay this tax. But Peter, go catch a fish. And the first fish you catch, it'll have a coin in its mouth. And you can use that to pay for both of us. And Peter must have just been like, or you could just give me a coin. or Peter could have said, like, or we just not pay him, like you said. I mean, sounds like you're the son of God, so. But he makes him do this pointless errand of going and catching a fish. Did he just, what is that for? It's like, hey, can I have $5? Sure. Go to the first pond or ocean or anything that you can find. Cast a hook. Soon as you catch a fish, it'll be in its mouth. Yeah, or you could just give me the $5. Or you could PayPal me. Do you have PayPal? Just PayPal. Matthew 18, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Oh, here we go. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm losing it tonight. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Oh, I can imagine many a pedophile misinterpreting that. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or foot offend thee, cut them off. Ooh, classic quote. And cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halter maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast in everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having... Sorry, Bible. I apologize for that yawn. I mean, you are being kind of interesting right now, but it's just a... It's still the Bible. So I'm still going to yawn. Rather than having two eyes to be cast in the fire of hell, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Oh, this is that classic quote that's like, yeah, if two of you pray for something, then my, you know, God will give it to you. So if two of you just agree to ask something, needless to say, that doesn't work. Let's test it. No, don't need to. It doesn't work. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee. Oh, I'm going to guess. Guys, I'm totally guessing. It's going to be seven times seven. Wasn't there something else in the Bible that was this, like seven times seven? Oh, it was like years. Oh, not just 7 years. Seven times 7 years, right? Wasn't that something? Let's see. Until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought it was seven times. It's 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Well, it's going to be kind of difficult to pay a debt from prison. I don't know. Maybe they had some work program, but that seems like not the best way to get that to happen. Anyway, so when his fellow servants saw that he was done, and they were very sorry, they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called them, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest now not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you also, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So this was a somewhat interesting story. So basically what happened is, he tells a parable again of a guy who owes like $1 bazillion to someone. And then he's like, oh, please let me not have to pay this because I can't afford it, and you'd have to send my whole family into slavery. And so then the debtor, no, the debt, no, not the debtor, the whoever, debtee, whoever, anyway, the lender or whatever forgives the guy. And then the guy goes to another guy who owes him like, I don't know, $10,000 instead of like billions of dollars. And he's like, hey, pay me my money. And then the person's like, oh, I can't. And then he like sends him to debtor's prison. And then bystanders or somebody notices. So what's happening is someone had a huge debt. The debt is forgiven. And then they in turn went and tried to exact debt out of someone else. And Jesus is like, this isn't cool. You have to forgive. Everyone has to forgive their debts. I'm forgiving the giant debt. And then you have to forgive your little debts. Jesus is like, your cute little human debts. You have to forgive those of people, you know. And then basically the end of the story is his friends or people turn him in and say, hey, this guy, you know, didn't forgive his debts or whatever after having his debt forgiven. And then that guy is like tortured. So happy ending. That's what's going to happen to you in hell. So that's why Jesus paints a picture, I think, a very literal, tormenty picture of hell that I don't think really, I mean, maybe people have backed away from that now, but I don't know. It kind of seems like that's what Jesus had in mind. So Matthew 19, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Then he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So that was like, you know, Adam and Eve, all that bullshit. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So that's like a quote they use in weddings or whatever, or not breaking up weddings or something. I don't know. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. So basically anything goes now, because they're like, hey, can't we like beat our wives or get rid of them or whatever? And Jesus is like, nope, can't do it. And then they're like, wait, but Moses used to let us do it. And then Jesus is like, nah, yeah, but Moses, you know, you guys were assholes back then. So Moses was just working with what he could, you know, so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. What the? This is some very sexist language here. Let me make sure I get this right. So pretty much, it sounds like, I mean, the language is like very just male. Like, oh, you can't, you know, you can't divorce your wife. And it says put away. that's the language for divorce. Like, I'm going to put my wife away. I'm done with this one. I don't need this one anymore. That's the language it's using. And then it says you can't marry a wife that's been put away. Otherwise, that's adultery. So what are they supposed to do? So you can divorce your wife if they cheat on you. And that's like the only time you can divorce them. But then if you want to marry someone who's been divorced, like a woman who's been divorced, you can't. It's really weird. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, it's just going to be a bunch of kids? Wow. Buzzkill. And he laid his hand on them and departed thence. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And I said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Well, you're God, though, aren't you? I don't get it. So you can't call him good because he's not. Like, this is just crap. I don't know what. So someone comes up to Jesus, a kid comes up and he says, Good master. And he's like, Why are you calling me good? God's the only one that's good. It's like, what? I thought you were God. Aren't you God? What's going on here? Would the real God please stand up? He saith unto him, Which, Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy mother and thy father, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? I'm sure you have. The kid's like, Yeah, I've done all that. No, I'm good. I did all that. Like, sure. Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then, so he's like, Oh, okay, so you did all that other stuff I mentioned? Well, then sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. And the kid's like, Ah, man, I'm not doing that. Then Jesus said unto the disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? Because they're just a bunch of rich guys. And they're like, I don't know. All I know is rich guys. Do you know any non-rich guys? No, I don't. Well, then who's going to be saved, Jesus? What's the point of this? I thought it was for all us rich guys. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold. Oh, wait, sorry. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that has forsaken houses and brethren and sisters or father or mother or wife or children lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and last shall be first. Matthew 20, For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. But when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day... Oh, guys, look, another story. Cool, I'm excited. Are you as excited as I am for this another story? And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why do you stand here all day? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. So when even was come, and the lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. That's not very good. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Yeah, well, I'd be pissed too, honestly. So I can't wait to find out how they're like the villains of the story. That's going to be great. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Well, that's true, I guess. Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So this is an interesting story. I will have to say that so far, this is one of the few times when the Bible has presented a sort of a legitimate moral quandary. It's like, okay, this guy promised. This is kind of interesting. Wow, you know, this is somewhat interesting of a story, worthy of consideration. Now, that's a low bar. That's a low bar for the holy book of the world of the universe to say like a kind of an interesting story, but it finally met it. So these workers, I'm in California, so instantly I thought of illegal laborers who you pick up at Home Depot. But it's whatever. These laborers were picked up for a penny, and they said, we'll give you a penny for the day. So they worked the whole day. That's what they agreed to. But the guy keeps going, and he keeps hiring more because he keeps seeing more. And he's like, well, whatever. Okay, I'll hire you too. And he's like, I'll pay you a penny. But the sort of the last in, first out LIFO method suggests that the last people he picks up, they only work for like an hour. So everybody gets paid a penny, and the first people who worked 8 hours or whatever, they worked the whole day, they worked the heat of the day. They're like, wait, why are we all getting paid a penny? This is bullshit. And I tend to agree with them, but then the guy has a good comeback. He's like, well, I agreed to pay you a penny, and what I do with the rest of my money is my business, so I'm paying everyone a penny. And it's like, yeah, it kind of is true. So for the first time that I can remember, we have like sort of an ambiguous, interesting moral question. Who's right? Should the guy be mad? Let's find out. Let's see what Jesus has to say. So the last shall be first and the first last, but few chosen. What? And Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the... Is that the end? I thought there was going to be an end. Hold on. Take what is thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last. I've already read this, but I'm backtracking. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wilt with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many will be called, few chosen. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go into Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Is he talking about himself? Because he's using the third person. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee. So that's over. So we had an interesting moral question, and then there was no answer. I thought that was going to be like Jesus was going to, you know, like rule on that one. He was going to be like, okay, here's what I think. But that didn't happen. But instead what happened is he's just like, yeah, last will be first, first will be last. That's it. That's everything. That's it. That's all that happened. It was really lame. I really was looking forward to like, what's the answer to this going to be? Who's right? Who's wrong? What's going on here? But nope, no answers. Absolutely none. So kind of frustrating. All right. So let's see, where were we? Then he's talking about he keeps bringing up his crucifixion, and his followers must be like, yeah, I know, you told us all this. We're still a little confused. Why are you going to be killed, and can't you just stop it? And why not? Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, yeah, I read this, and shall deliver him, yeah, yeah. Then came him to the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called unto them and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they are great exercise authority upon... What? And they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him and said, Behold, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus passed, they cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. That's the end of our reading. But I have to say, that's a great story, because so these two blind men are sitting on the road. Jesus passes by. They're like, hey, come on, like, you know, please come on, heal us, whatever. And then the Jesus's followers are like mad. They're like, dudes, why don't you just mind your own business? As if you know Jesus can cure blindness and you're blind, like, you wouldn't try to ask him to cure you. Like, that wouldn't happen. You know, like, oh, come on, dude, please, party foul. Stop trying to, you know, stop giving us a hard time. We're walking here. We're having a good time. And you have to go and ruin it by asking to have your sight restored. And then Jesus is like, well, hold on. Okay, I'll talk to them. And then Jesus is like, yeah, what do you want me to do? And they're like, what do you want? We want you to cure our blindness, dummy. Like, what do you think? We're blind. And then Jesus is like, oh, okay. And he does. And then they follow him. So he gains followers, but it's not like, you know, doesn't that seem a little weird? Like, it's not like he meant to do that. So if Jesus had his way, he would have just kept walking. But he had the option to cure their blindness. He knew they were blind. Like, isn't that just the most perplexing story? See, if I were Jesus, I'd be like, hey, I'm going to cure these blind people so they'll follow me. But instead, it was all backwards. It was like, oh, I'm just Jesus. I'm Jesusing around. I'm just going to Jesus over here. I'm going to Jesus over there. Oh, I could Jesus over there. And then some people interrupt me. And I'm like, whoa, what do you want, blind people? They're like, what do we want? Cure us. And Jesus is like, oh, okay, if you're going to nag me about it. So he cures them, and then they follow him. It's a little backwards. But anyway, that's the end of the reading. Thanks for joining me. As per usual, I want to thank all my patrons. You guys are the best. No new patrons this week, but that doesn't mean someone can't join up next week. Become a patron. Patreon.com/TNTheB. Support the show. Keep it going. I want to thank my all-time greats, and that is John Bodley, Marcel, Stacey Swaney, George Green, thank you, thank you, thank you, Sarah McPike, thank you, Scott McFarlane, Charles Bangwiener, Tom Chambers, Brian Gareford, Lee Primesberger, John P., David Vandervlies, Travis Peterson, and Aroberto. Thank you guys so much. You are really, really too kind. I can't tell you how much I love you guys. So that's it for this week. And Jesus and his terrible parables. See you next week for some more Jesusing.